Ones Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirtiest Ones Podcast with Andy Booth, the Angel Prano. Welcome to the Dirtiest Ones Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live today from the Smut Studio in Venice Beach, California, with my co-host, Joey No Chill Prano.
Hello, Andy.
Good.
Andy the Dented, king of the dirtballs.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I would.
Andy the Dented, king of the dirtballs? You don't like that theory? First of his name?
I don't know if I'm king of the dirtballs.
Hater of cafe. Andy the Dented, hater of cafe.
I was thinking about drinking coffee the other day.
You should.
I think I need to give it another shot.
Look at this, dude. This is the most Andy, like, we're going to have to do, like, coffee may be the end, but, like, we're going to have to do, like, let's see, what would that be, like 2015 Ruther versus 2020 Ruther?
Oh, 2015 Ruther versus 2020 Ruther is night and day.
Just like fucking a Jack and Coke, a Kobe Bryant jersey, the long hair, a little pudgy face. Now like cafe and a kale smoothie.
I was like, go look in my we can start
laying
with
in a sound bath with a LeBron James t-shirt
on. We can start with my fridge. Yeah. I mean, just my fridge alone would be a whole
transformation. A Bengals banner in the background versus a Rams banner in the background.
The apartment.
Yep.
Now I've gotten like OCD almost with the apartment. Obviously, this is a very small square foot area where I'm vacuuming three times a week. And it's like, dude, it's 390 square feet.
I mean, that's why you have to do it, though. It's because, like, you know, Lachlan has a great joke about his girlfriend complaining about the apartment being dirty. She's like, what? The floor is gross. And he's like, what are you talking about? It looks great. And he's like, she'll just start sweeping in front of me and she'll sweep it all. And he's like, well, sure, when you pile it all up, like,
yeah.
But like the bigger the space you have, everything can kind of just
it flows.
Know, dirt and everything and mess just goes to like distant corners. But I'm the same way. My apartment, it's so small that I sweep it basically every day.
Well, and also with us being right by the beach, and we've had crazy wind lately.
God.
It just brings in the sand and the dust.
Luckily for you, at least you faced east.
Yeah.
I
can't imagine, because last week was crazy wind.
I dirtball Airbnb'd a few times in the past week.
I know.
And I told both participants, I was like, whatever you do, don't leave this window open. Like, if you leave for an extended period of time, you'll come home, it'll be a sand dune on your bed.
Well, shout out to Jake. I met Jake.
Oh, yeah.
He DM'd me.
And Jake, he came out to the show I did on Friday.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
I met him and his girlfriend, Megan, and met him at the Venice Beach basketball courts, and he said you were Dirtball Airbnb-ing, and I want to put it out there for the Dirtballs. You know, you're running a little business here.
Yeah.
If you guys want to do that.
I mean, basically, what I've said is, you know, I can't technically Airbnb, so
yeah.
I word of mouth Airbnb, but just like visiting the Smut Studio, $100, crisp 100 gets you a night in fucking Prano 2020 headquarters.
What would it cost to be in the Smut Studio?
Because
I have had people reach out to me about the Smut Studio.
Yeah.
Same thing?
I don't know. You tell me.
$100 per night? We could almost run a business where we rotate our places and do some sort of deal.
Yeah.
Right?
We're already doing it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love when people say to me, aren't you creeped out? The people who listen to your show have your address. I say, it's 2019. They can find it.
Yeah. Look, when I forget my keys, you've been to my place. When I forget my keys, I'm trapped out of my fucking place. So they can do whatever they want. With my address, they get there, you know, I got a gated fucking parking garage area. I got lunatic tattoo guys outside. Like, my place is, unless you're sneaking in through the fucking ice cream parlor, you're not getting to my door.
Yeah, well, I kind of feel the same way here. You have to go through two.
Also, the only people I've ever worried about from the internet are the people that are going to figure it out one way or the other. Like, I think the most dangerous group to me are military folks on the internet, because I always tell them that they're on fucking government welfare and that, you know, that they went to the military because they couldn't fucking get into college. And
yeah, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, I don't care. You can make bold claims when you're, you know, speaking about a majority of a group. Oh, well, actually, I was an officer. Great, you're one of 1,000 people. The rest of your fucking bunk mates were guys who got DUIs at 17, and it was Army or fucking jail. So,
well, but I'm just saying, like, I have two brothers who were, like, the complete opposite of that.
Yeah.
Who, you know, were smart guys who went on to academies, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Great. How's that going?
Well,
thank God they liberated Iraq for us or whatever. Did your brother, I know your brother's a smart guy. Did he find those WMDs?
No. In fact, he's getting his master's. He wrote a whole paper on it.
Yeah.
A 50-page.
Who's this?
Brad.
He wrote a 50-page paper on.
I got to read it on like the whole thing with weapons of mass destruction and how they couldn't find anything. And, you know, was this all a lie and all that stuff?
Spoiler, yes.
Here's the crazy thing, though. He actually got...
I'm not going to ruin Game of Thrones for you guys, but I'm going to ruin the Iraq War. It was a lie.
Those West Pointers stick together. He got General Petraeus, was emailing back and forth with him on this. I'm like, that's wild that like he would... Because those guys all are like, oh, he's doing something, I'll help him out. So he actually sent that to me, his paper. I got to read it still. Because I was like, dude, you should come on my second podcast, The Den Report, and talk about it. Plus the thought of Brad being on a podcast. Like, could he maintain civility with me on a podcast? Let me tell you about what my brother said real quick, and then we'll get to sports. We're Mother's Day. We're at my parents' house. He's all being classic Brad, like telling his kids to hurry up and eat because they were up late last night. They got to get to bed on a certain time before school. You know, his kids are in the first grade. And, this is how he said goodbye to me. He knows I get anxiety in flying, especially with turbulence. He said, I hope there's extreme turbulence, and I hope you freak out. And he's saying all this stuff right in front of his kids, and he's just wishing evil feelings on me. I'm like, that's how you're going to leave? That's how you're going to hug me goodbye and just wish awful things happen to me while I'm flying?
I should definitely stop dissing the military. Like my brother was fucking officer. He also leaves places by saying, I hope that there's airline crashes and you're in it. Because that way we can use that. We could say fucking Al-Qaeda did it.
Yeah.
We can start 12 more wars.
Speaking of airline crashes, I feel like the Los Angeles Lakers are currently in one as an organization.
The Lakers are a disaster. Obviously, was that this morning that Magic Johnson went on First Take?
Yeah.
So this
I think he's doing the Scorch the Earth ESPN tour.
I gotta say,
which I don't like these guys doing.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I don't like about Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson is basically, I don't even feel like he's trying to diss anybody. And I believe that his general sentiment, like when he's like, I'm not, you know, blah, blah, like everything's like very calm and whatever. I think he's just doing like reiterate the Magic Johnson is a nice guy brand tour. Like he's not trying to diss the Lakers. He's just like trying to cover his own ass because everybody's like, oh, Magic just left high and dry. And he's like, let me tell you what happened. And it's like, here's the thing. Magic Johnson... really talented point guard, one of the greatest NBA players in the history of basketball. Smart with investments, I guess. You know, he's made a lot of good investments. Horrifically unqualified to talk, run, participate in anything basketball. You're a point guard. You're not an executive. You're not a coach. You're not a president. You're kind of clueless. And it's proven that, and you don't even have the sense, like the sense of self, to know how to handle yourself in like interpersonal human interaction. Like The way that, you know, they showed the clip of LeBron saying, like, he didn't even say anything to me. He's like, well, I'm not a regretful person. I just have to be happy. And it's like, dude, you were the president of a basketball team. You didn't think you had to tell anybody before you, like, that's just highly unprofessional.
Yeah.
Forget. I, like, it's basically just like, I'm Magic Johnson, so I can do whatever. It's like, dude, you're a point guard.
I like
that. Also, who has HIV and says they're not a regretful person? What? Well, like, that's one of the boldest claims of all time. You don't regret getting AIDS?
Good point.
No regrets. Like, what?
He's like a 21-year-old sorority girl. Yeah. No regrets.
No regrets.
We're going out.
Not all those who wander have HIV or something.
No regrets.
Know.
Sunday fun day. Mimosas.
Like, that was the boldest claim I've ever heard. I'm not a regretful person. Dude, you have HIV. You don't regret, like, I don't know.
Did he say that? No regrets?
He said, they were like, you don't regret how you left it. You don't regret not talking to LeBron. He's like, I'm not a regretful person.
Everyone should have regrets.
I'm not a regretful man. And then Max Kellerman pushed on it. He goes, Max, I just said I'm not a regretful person. I'm like, damn, does your wife know that? Does Cookie know that you don't regret, like, having HIV?
Yeah. Well, there's no humility in that statement saying no regrets, because everyone in life should have regrets, because we learn from mistakes. If you don't have regrets, you're basically saying I don't care about mistakes I've made. That's a very, very wild sentiment for him to take.
I mean, I get, like, if you say, like, oh, all my mistakes made, but, like, dude, you, like, think about what Magic Johnson's career could have been if he didn't have to leave. You know what I mean? Like, just, maybe he doesn't give a shit. You know, he's got all the movie theaters now and whatever.
I mean,
but that's
a good point.
But just, like, think about what his legacy could have been. Think about, you know.
He won in 10, I believe it was 10 or 11 years. I mean, he won 5 titles, 3 MVPs in just that short amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, kind of just like wild claim for me.
No regrets.
No regrets. I'm not a regretful person. Wow.
He should
of all the people.
He should regret his tweets. Have you seen his tweets? I know we've discussed this on the show.
I almost feel like he has like a Shibeli that writes his tweets. He has
that's a good point.
He has an intern that's writing like terrible. He's the only person who's like says shit on TV on First Take, but then says the most vanilla ass shit on Twitter. Like, most people fucking make wild claims on Twitter and then don't say shit in real life.
He's
a reverse troll.
He's a reverse troll. I just want to read, like, here's a tweet from Saturday after the Warriors beat the Blazers. With Steph Curry's 36 points, Draymond Green's 2013-12 triple-double, and Klay Thompson's incredible defense, the Warriors superstars led them to another win in the series.
Yeah.
Like, he just is stating facts.
He's writing Black Sports Online headlines that are game recaps.
But not as interesting.
No. Yeah, Magic Johnson.
Here's the one the day before. I saw this one. This one made me laugh. I watched former NBA superstar Matt Barnes on ESPN's First Take yesterday and Get Up this morning. ESPN should hire him. He's a natural. The camera loves him. He's smart and intelligent.
TV reviewer. TV analyst reviewer. The Lakers are a dumpster fire, but all you need to know about the Lakers being a dumpster fire is they've had a relationship with Magic Johnson for, what, 40 years?
Yeah.
Right? And they hired him to be their president of basketball operations. Magic Johnson at no point ever seemed qualified for that kind of role. He embarrassed himself as a coach. He's never, like, dude, if you read these days, the first thing a job will do before they hire you is go check your social media. You're going to go check his tweets, and you're going to be like, yeah, this is the guy we want making our basketball decisions. And then also, in his interview, he says, like, I told him I wasn't going to be there. You told him in advance you're not going to be there? Like, and they still hire you? Like, the Buss family needs to sell the team, you know, but it's all they are.
Well,
so they're not going to.
That's the thing, and we've discussed this, and I've brought that point up before. These organizations that are still family-owned, that don't have outside businesses besides the team, are kind of all train wreck organizations. Like, let's start naming some. You have the Lakers. Even the Cowboys, he made his money somewhere else. I was thinking of them.
Yeah.
You have the Cincinnati Bengals. You have, doesn't the Ford family, aren't they still the owners of the Detroit Lions?
I mean, I think Ford's made their money somewhere else, right?
Sure. Good point. I'm not thinking about that. But
they invented automobiles.
Touche. Well, like, what are some other ones?
They started basically industry.
Yeah.
But otherwise, mostly just the football team.
I missed the mark on that one. I was just ready to shit on the city of Detroit. That's my bad. I apologize, Detroiters. Like where else?
Yeah. I mean, the Maras, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, but I think it's just a thing with the way sports has taken a turn. It's like you almost need to have that perfect balance of people who are looking at it from this is a business and we're putting the other team to the analytics of it, where like you almost need the dead soul, the nerds that are looking at it from just like a math standpoint, and the best way to have success is to take all these things into consideration and have somebody competent being the fucking, you know, king, and essentially.
I don't want to make the call.
And Magic Johnson.
Well, here's my thing with Magic. I don't want to sit here and take too many digs at him. I like him.
Magic Johnson is if Sam had ended up on the Iron Throne. It's like, dude, I mean, you're a nice guy, but like, I don't think you're really qualified for this.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I think Magic's a nice guy. I used to work with somebody who had done work for him and only had said good things. So I've heard only positive things about Magic. He's a nice guy. We see all that, but...
And what do they say about nice guys, Andy?
They finish last. But he's made a lot of money. This is what I'm going to say about Magic. He's worth, I think they say, an estimated $500 to $600 million. So he's made some smart business investments, but that also doesn't mean he's calling the shots on those businesses. Does that make sense?
Of course.
Like, he says, I have the money, I have the capital, make me money. It's the same way with the Dodgers. You know, they put Magic out there. And remember, they'd always have him in back of home plate,
sure,
showing him at the games. He's such a small minority owner of the Dodgers. He's not the one who has turned them into a perennial World Series contending team every year. That's everybody else.
Right.
But I think people get lost in that, and they think that he is. So at the end of the day, you're right. He's not making the right decisions. The Lakers are a dumpster fire. He didn't make the right decisions as a coach. They need to figure some shit out. And his reasoning on getting rid of D'Angelo Russell was... you know, I was like, what? And then he called him Shaggy P, which of course I posted.
Yeah.
Shaggy P? That sounds like Shaggy's cousin who didn't really make it out. He didn't get like a hit song out.
Yeah. When I heard he had problems with Shaggy P, I was like, oh yeah, the bombastic relationship between D'Angelo Russell and Shaggy P. We couldn't have that in the locker room. Who's getting traded? Shaggy P was like, it wasn't me.
That shit was hot fire when I was in college, man.
It wasn't me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I had a theology teacher complaining about that song in class. He's like, you know, the music nowadays, you know, these songs like It Wasn't Me, where you can just have sex with anybody and not blame. I'm like, dude, are we really bringing this into a college class? Fucking cheddar dick.
Yeah.
Well, we got to talk Blazers. It's not a good situation.
Well, I mean, I guess before we move on to that, what do you think about the future of the Lakers? Like, what do you think, you know, us being in Los Angeles, obviously there being cheddar dick Laker fans around the world, what do you think their move is now? Where do they go from here? They have LeBron James, and you know, that was the thing that Max Kellerman kept putting him on the spot. And by the way, I'm just so sick. Can I also double down on, I'm so sick of the racial undertones to every fucking sports television morning show. Like Stephen A. Smith, like Max is pushing Magic Johnson, and then Stephen A. Smith wraps up the show going like, the Lakers aren't going to win, They're not going to win unless they listen to this man, Magic Johnson, and what he's saying right now. It's like, he was the president.
But what do you mean racial undertones? Like
So Magic Johnson embarrasses himself as the president of the Lakers.
Yeah.
Quits like a fucking asshole.
Okay.
Leaves the franchise in flames. Goes on First Take to say no regrets. And then at the end, Stephen A. Smith is defending Magic Johnson.
But
that's racism.
Well, hold on.
Hold on a second. Explain. Give me one reason why Stephen A. Smith is backing Magic Johnson in this still.
Because you're just assuming he's backing him because it's a black guy backing another black guy. I won't go there. I'm not going to say that.
Okay. And Nick Wright and Chris Carter, the fucking setting their show aflame because Tyronn Lue doesn't get hired as the Lakers coach. How dare you offer Tyronn Lue NBA Finals coaching embarrassment and laughingstock, who doesn't know to call a timeout when J.R. Smith has the ball and is just running around like a chicken with his head cut off? How dare he get offered less money than other white coaches being fucking... Well, maybe because he sucks at coaching, and stop pretending that he doesn't. It's racism.
But I don't think it's that. I just think...
So explain... Give me an explanation.
I don't have one. My explanation would be this, though. I would say maybe they just...
And then the trashing of Frank Vogel. And then the trashing of Frank Vogel. What did he ever do? He was an embarrassment in Orlando. You know who else is an embarrassment in Orlando? Fucking everybody that's ever coached the Orlando Magic because they're a goddamn dumpster fire. Like, to me, it always kills me because, like, it's not overt, but it's like, if you're Stephen A. Smith...
We make fun of Stephen A. Smith all the time on this show. I just don't think he's making rational and intelligent points ever. And we discussed this when we had Robert Latow from Black Sports Online. It's like, he even said that. We don't know Stephen A.'s actual opinion. We don't know Skip Bayless's opinion. These people just, they're talking head, they're trolls.
Yeah.
That's my point. It's like, we don't know how these people actually feel.
But they say it.
But I don't know if that's how they actually feel, is my point.
Well, it really kind of doesn't matter how they feel.
To me.
Again, it's sort of like Trump. Trump's a lifelong, you know, New York City Democrat. But that's all out the window when he starts saying, like, Mexicans should be locked up in cages at the border and we should put up a wall and, you know, all the fucking shit. Because he's the president now and what he says matters.
I agree, but it doesn't mean that he actually means it. To me, it is the same thing.
But it's almost more important than what he feels or means because that's what he's putting out there. So Stephen A. Smith can think whatever he wants about Magic Johnson. He can think whatever he wants about Rob Pelinka. And he can think about whatever he wants about the buses. But when you close your show on camera to the world saying the Lakers need to listen to Magic Johnson, when Magic Johnson was just the president of the organization, left it in flames, and then went on to just trash them, why would they ever listen to Magic Johnson?
Well, obviously, it's a very ignorant and stupid statement. And to me, the bigger question is, why is Magic Johnson going on First Take?
Because Magic Johnson is all and only about Magic Johnson. And Magic Johnson wants to be beloved because he's Magic Johnson and everybody always liked Magic Johnson and he's a nice guy. So while he's not going to sit back and let rumors swirl around about how he left and the ownership this and, you know, he was throwing Luke Walton under the bus and he was like, blah, 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 this guy, and he didn't get along with the bus family. All he did on the show is say how he loves LeBron, how he loves Rob Pelinka, how he loves the Bus family, how, you know, he loves Lonzo Ball.
But his actions didn't show it.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
So you're fake, you're a fraud, you're a liar, and Stephen A. Smith is defending you at the end. And Max Kellerman is just going like, what the fuck? Because Max Kellerman is at least being a reasonable sports fucking journalist.
But again, my opinion is this on those shows. They're sound bites. Look, we're talking about it now. It's worked. It's something that they grab the clips, they go up on Twitter, they go up on Instagram, we're doing all that. Like those shows aren't a good forum. Whereas, like, if Magic Johnson came and sat on the Smut couch, it'd be like, dude, let's talk about this for an hour. Let's really get into this shit.
But he was on there for a long time.
I only watched 4.5 minutes.
Yeah. He was on there for a while. You sent me the 4.5 minute clip, which I watched, and then I just kept seeing clips of other sound bites. And like it's just why isn't Stephen A. Smith calling for everything that Magic Johnson does in his career is why the Lakers need to listen to him as a player? Everything he did as a player is why the Lakers need to listen to what Magic Johnson thinks. Why isn't Stephen A. Smith calling for Phil Jackson to take over the Lakers? He has 11 championships. He brought the Lakers back to he restarted the Lakers championship dynasty. 5 rings. Was the ego manager of Shaq and Kobe and Powell. And the only success the Lakers have had since HIV is Phil Jackson. Why isn't Stephen A. Smith calling for Phil Jackson? Now, as a person who watched Phil Jackson run the Knicks into the ground, I would never say that that was the best move for the Lakers. But why isn't Stephen A. Smith calling for that? He's calling for, you should still be listening to Magic because of what Magic did as a player? Yeah, because Magic is fucking black.
I don't know. I mean, I only Stephen A. would know on that. But also, I think a lot of these, when we talk about the GM, if we look at teams, I know we've discussed this before, with coaching, I think a lot of the guys who are great players are not good GMs.
It's almost like when you're a fucking freak athlete growing up, you really don't have to spend a whole lot of time focusing on the intricacies of life and interpersonal relationships and whatever.
And putting a team together.
Or literally caring about anything at all. Like a person who, like LeBron James, knows less about ordering at McDonald's than I fucking do. Because his whole life, they've been like, LeBron James is here. What do you want, LeBron? Like the Magic Johnsons of the world, the Patrick Ewings, people that were just from the day they walked on the planet Earth, were like, dude, you are fucking fantastic at this. They don't, like, LeBron James did not have a real childhood. He did not grow up learning how to have relationships with people. He drove a Hummer to high school.
Yeah.
That he bought.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking of Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. Was Kevin McHale, at one point, was he the GM of the Rockets?
He was
just the coach.
He was just the coach. He was the GM of the Timberwolves.
But that's what I'm saying. These are all like Hall of Fame guys that
And surprise, surprise.
Failed.
Surprise, surprise. 6 foot white, unathletic Danny Ainge, who managed to be an NBA player and a drafted Major League Baseball player, despite not having fucking tremendous athletic gifts, is a great GM.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Because he's had to, just for him to make it to the NBA career he had, he couldn't rely on, I'm just the best.
His talent, yeah.
Now, look, LeBron James, I've converted you at this point. We are a LeBron James slurping podcast, but that is why LeBron James is the greatest of all time, because he's the greatest physical athlete we've ever seen, and he has, you know, a great intellectual approach, I think, to basketball and life. But, yeah, you know, guys who are born 7 feet tall are qualified to be in the NBA. That doesn't mean they're qualified to run an NBA team.
Yeah, well, they got to figure it out, plain and simple. Let's talk playoffs. The Trailblazers, I want to start there. They've just melted down the last two games. I thought they had both those games.
I'll tell you what I think is happening in the NBA right now, and it is why the Warriors dynasty is happening, and it's why the Warriors dynasty will continue to happen, you know, barring some roster changes. Look around the league right now, and really, truthfully, this is also why the Bucks are the only team that would be competitive in a series with the Warriors right now. And that is, every team is relying, it's a star-driven league now. And every team is relying on their fucking, every team has one guy who's the man. And just like I said from the beginning of these playoffs, that Damian Lillard should be deferring a little bit more to CJ McCollum. Harden, Lillard, Kawhi, Kyrie, all these guys, I mean, just in the Warriors playoff run so far, they're facing guys who just are breaking down. Like, it is impossible to put an entire NBA franchise on your back and carry them from late October to June. And that's proven in Damian Lillard is falling apart physically. James Harden, tired every year come playoff time. Like, yes, maybe it's a recipe for regular season success, but then come playoff time when you're playing the best teams in the league with one night off every fucking week, guys are falling apart. Now, Kevin Durant gets hurt, but now they just go to their other star player.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at the Warriors, Steph Curry is great, but Steph Curry also didn't have to have the Warriors on his back the whole season.
Sure.
Kevin Durant didn't have to have the Warriors on his back the whole season. We keep talking about their records without KD, without Steph, without blah, 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 blah. Like, remember when Steph did have the Warriors on his back and was the unanimous MVP and they won 73 games in the regular season? They didn't win it all. And people were talking about Steph's hurt, Steph's ankles aren't feeling great, Steph's knee, Steph's finger. Look, it's tough. And that's, you know, again, I'll go back to it. This is why the disrespect that has been shown LeBron James over the course of his career is he didn't have fucking Pippen. He didn't have Steph Curry. He didn't have a second guy, and Kyrie has proven it, that is on the level of being called a star player. And he did it 9 years in a row. He, for 9 years, put two different NBA franchises on his back and carried them from October to June. Three of those times they ended in championships. Three of those times they ended in the finals. But look around the league. It is very hard to do.
Well, that is the thing with the Warriors, and I think we have forgotten it, how stacked they are. And yeah, everybody wants to come. A lot of people are trying to come at us. And guys, again, I don't know how many times we're going to say this. If you think the team is better without the second best player, you just don't understand basketball. And I don't know how many times we're going to bring it up. Literally, Klay Thompson himself said it in an interview. It's out there. Just Google Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. He said Kevin Durant is our best player. He shot down that notion. He's played with the Warriors his whole career. He's played with Steph his whole career.
This is it's just a stupid conversation because no one has challenged the Warriors since Kevin Durant has been on the Warriors.
No one.
Meanwhile, before Kevin Durant joined the Warriors, not only did they make, you know, in Steph's 9 years or whatever it's been, or I forget how many years he had been there, six, something like that, before the finals run started. Not only had they only made two NBA finals, they lost one of them, and they'd almost lost a round before to the fucking Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. So this notion, but you're right.
No one's come close to touching the Warriors when they had KD and Steph and Klay and Draymond. No one.
No one's come close. And those are just the facts.
And right before that, they won 73 games and didn't win the championship.
Yeah.
The end. That's the end of the argument.
Now, Steph's playing great right now. Klay's playing great. Draymond's playing great. Iguodala's playing. Like, they are playing as a team right now, and they're playing some amazing basketball. But I'll say it right now. If they don't get KD back, they don't win the title. I believe that. I think Milwaukee is that good. And I think Milwaukee's done an interesting team how they put their team together. You have one star
surrounded by a lot of great. It's that Mavs championship team.
I was gonna say it's a lot of good guys. Like Bledsoe, he might not be a star. He's a really, really good player.
And so is Middleton. And so is Ilyasovic. And so is Mirotić. And so is And so
and then Brogdon coming off the bench. Yeah. I mean, you got a really good team.
And George Hill.
Oh, George Hill's played a great playoffs. You have a really good team surrounding an MVP.
Yeah, and yesterday I was watching that game. It didn't end up working out in the end, but even in the fourth quarter when they were down like 6 or 7 points, I was watching and I said, Bucks are going to win this game because Giannis isn't playing well, especially offensively, and they're in it. And they're in it to the end. And once they got to overtime, I'm like, that's it. And then what a dumb foul to foul out, obviously. Yeah. And I still kind of thought they were going to win. I mean, it comes down to it. Like, I'm rooting for the Bucks in that series to get it over with quickly because I think, you know, you don't want the Warriors resting for a week before and getting, you know, KD back before you can even start a finals.
Are they going to – does that matter or do the finals – I
kind of think the finals start the same time no matter what, maybe.
I was going to say, because I looked it up, and I was confused on that when they start. Like, I'm at NBA.com, and they're saying that the finals start May 30th. It says right. Begins – like, does that – even if these games are over by the 23rd?
Yeah, I think so.
They take a week off?
Yeah, I think so now, but
– yeah, because it's saying begins May 30th.
Yeah. But also, I mean, you don't want to play a 7-game series while the Warriors are resting.
For sure.
Now, the difference between all those teams being carried, like I said, by one guy, first of all, Giannis is still very, very young. And much like LeBron James, just a freak athlete in every sense of the word. Like, no one, you know, if you saw Dame Lillard walking down the street, you're not like, holy shit, there's a mega athlete.
Yeah.
Even if you saw James Harden, I mean, you'd recognize James Harden, obviously. But if James Harden walked into a bar, you wouldn't be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What is that? If Giannis walked into a bar, you'd be like, literally, what the fuck is happening? Why didn't an alien just walk into the fucking townhouse? You know?
Yeah.
Same way as you would be about Kevin Durant. Same way as you would be about LeBron James. Same way as you would, like... If there's one guy who can put a team on his back and do it, it's the freak.
Watch Giannis. If you
but also, he's 20-something. You know, yeah. He's 23 or whatever it is.
If you guys are watching the Bucks game, what's amazing to me is how quickly, when he dribbles, he gets in the lane right to the hoop. Like, he does it so quick. It's like he has horse legs. Like, he's just galloping through the paint. It's pretty remarkable. I've enjoyed watching them play. Back to the Warriors, though, real quick. I think what's happened in this series against the Blazers is just you have a lot of experience. You have guys on that Warriors team who know how to win. So these games that are like the last two games where you're like, wow, you know, the Blazers have them on the ropes. Come fourth quarter crunch time, that last 7-8 minutes of the game, the Warriors know.
But they're also talking about Dame Lillard's got bruised ribs and like and I've said it all along, like They're not, like, those guys have to be, CJ and Dame have to be dominating.
Yeah.
Because they're still outgunned. They're just outgunned. Like,
sure.
You know, just like the veteran leadership that's behind the star players is so great for the Warriors. As opposed to, you know, you got fucking Zach Collins and Leonard and whatever, like, getting their first NBA playoff minutes.
Sure.
The only chance they had is they needed those two guys to be at their best. Neither of them have been at their best. Lillard is apparently hurt and broken down, and like I get it because he's tried to do too much the whole time. And I said that's not a recipe for success. And look, the Warriors are just too deep. And when your best player can sit and you still have a fucking 2-time MVP. It's just too much.
How many games do you think the Bucks-Raptors series goes?
I think it goes six.
Six. What do you think of my take that if KD isn't playing, the Bucks win that series?
Yeah, I agree.
Because they also have home court advantage, let's not forget.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Honestly, I think with KD playing, I think it could be a good series.
Yeah, me too.
I think it could be a good series.
I want Giannis to stay, man. I like this. I like this small market. I like him playing for Milwaukee.
Yeah, where would he go?
Well, he's got two more years on his deal.
Yeah. I think you would have to be stupid. You're gonna have to, unless they turn the keys over to Magic Johnson. It's gonna be hard to fuck this up.
Yeah,
you've got a guy there. They should extend him before, like, you know, extend him at the first possible day that they can extend him. Tell him that this whole thing is being built around him. They've already got a coach that works. They've already got a game plan that works. Giannis is only going to get better.
Yeah.
He's only going to get more of a jump shot. He's already going to get more post moves, hopefully. I mean, you hope that he's the kind, he doesn't go Dwight Howard and just like peak with his athleticism. But it's impossible. It's really, truly impossible to fuck this up unless, you know, you're an idiot.
Yeah. I think we're looking at the future.
The future is now, man. I mean, if they go to the NBA Finals.
No, I agree.
What are we talking about?
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying.
And guess what? You want a Joe Prano hot take? KD doesn't leave the Warriors because he knows. He's going to go what? To the Knicks and lose to Milwaukee? And watch the Warriors lose to Milwaukee?
What is...
KD's not going to leave because without KD, that Warriors team... That's the last of the Warriors run. And without Steph, that's the last of KD. Those guys need each other, regardless of how everybody wants, whatever you think on the internet. Oh, well, Steph was doing it before KD. He actually wasn't. He actually wasn't doing it before KD.
Well, he won a title.
Yeah, when LeBron James was in a starting lineup with Matthew Dellavedova and Timofey Mozgov. Those are players' names that were once in the NBA.
Isn't Dellavedova on the Bucks?
Maybe. Not getting a lot of run.
No, he ain't.
Certainly not starting.
He's not getting PT.
Certainly
but.
Not the second best player in their lineup.
Well, hold on. Let's bring that back real quick. That Lakers starting lineup in the 2015. I'm sorry, not Lakers. That Cavs starting lineup in 2015 was LeBron, Matthew Dellavedova, Timofey Mozgov, J.R. Smith.
Yep.
And. Was Shumpert on the team at that point?
Yeah, but it was probably probably Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson, yeah. It won two games. That's a good point. I don't know what makes KD more prone to leave.
KD,
if they win or lose. Like, I don't know the answer to that.
KD's staying.
You think he's staying?
I'm predicting that now KD stays because I think the one thing that I'll give Kevin Durant credit for, and Steph, and LeBron, as opposed to the James Hardens and the fucking, and, you know, some of the other star players that we've had, is Kevin Durant understands, cares, loves, and studies basketball. Like LeBron, I think he can look around the league and he goes, I got to look out for that guy, and I got to look out for that guy. And I think LeBron, in his moves forever, has always been playing chess with, like, that's why the move to the Lakers was the dumbest and most unexplainable thing that LeBron James has ever done and will ever do.
Well, from a basketball sense,
yes.
We all know why he moved here.
But still dumb.
Career sense.
Still dumb.
Hollywood.
Yeah. LeBron should have let somebody else be playing the Hollywood chess. Focus on the thing that you have spent your whole life studying and make your decisions based on basketball and let Maverick Carter or whatever worry about the Hollywood shit because it was horrifically dumb. He's always looked around the league and goes, I have to beat those guys. It's not about me. I'll win the East. I'll beat this team or I'll beat this Celtics team or I'll beat this. But my goal is I have to win a championship. So who is going to be my roadblock? Doesn't matter what seed I get. Doesn't matter how we play in the regular season. When it all comes down to it, who do I have to battle and what do I need to beat them? And he put together multiple times what he needed, 3 times to win championships, 9 times to get to the finals, what he needed.
So you think KD is going to do the same thing?
I think KD is sitting at home watching the NBA playoffs, watching Giannis and going, that's the guy who's
– yeah.
That's my guy. In the next 5 seasons. For the rest of my window, as the second or third or whatever greatest basketball player, for the rest of my window as a person who can go places and make them a contender, that's a guy I'm going to have to run into. Do I want to run into him in the East? Do I want to run into him in the finals? Who do I want to run into him with? And I think Kevin Durant knows, the same way that we have talked about it prior, Giannis is already doing what KD's doing. He's already the single guy on a team that is able to take them to at least the conference finals, the same way KD was doing that with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But he never got over the hump to win a championship, and the reason he didn't is because he was playing a deeper team. Now, he's going to go to the Knicks with RJ Barrett, and who? Who's joining him? Kyrie? If you're Kevin Durant and you're a student of basketball, I'm a fucking pretty big basketball guy myself, and I'm a Knicks fan. If we have RJ Barrett, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving, and then the mixed bag of people that are on the Knicks, we're not beating the Milwaukee Bucks. Not how they're currently constructed. So why would he do that? He's going to stay with the Warriors. The only reason I don't think that he's going to stay with the Warriors is because people have this Knicks thing has been fucking.
Well, and also I think the reason he wouldn't stay is
because people are offending him by saying he's not even the best player on his own team.
Yeah, and he's a bitch and all this. I mean, he responded. He's still doing it. I saw he responded on Instagram. Somebody didn't even come at him. He responded to someone's comments about, again, how the team's better without him. He responded. He's still checking his phone. Kevin Durant, how many times are we going to say this? Get off your phone, man. You're the second best player in the NBA. What are you doing? Get off your goddamn phone. And that goes for everybody. When you're outside at the beach, get off your fucking phone. When you're walking down the street, get off your phone.
You do know this is going to be clipped the next time that you're like, at the beach, out here for a run, love it, look at the weather.
No, that's fine. You can do that shit. I'm talking about the people who are looking face down at their phone while they're walking, while they're crossing the street. Get off your goddamn phones. Get out of my yard. Get off my porch. I'm the old man. I'm Clint Eastwood in...
Are you trying to say get off my lawn?
What did I say?
You said get off of my yard and get out of my yard and get off my porch.
There's some classic Rutherisms.
The only thing that makes me think KD does end up on the Knicks is the same way this LeBron James thing. I go, LeBron and the Lakers makes no sense. And everybody's like, it's happening.
But again,
it's almost like Brand being the fucking sitting on the Iron Throne. Vegas had it at like minus 700. I'm like, all right, well, I think that's what's happening then.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Let me hop in the YouTube comment section. Are we getting dirtball calls today? Yes, we will be getting dirtball calls to wrap up the episode. Cutter, did I miss them talking about Brooks Koepka winning for the first half hour?
No, should we talk about it?
Yeah, let's talk golf. You guys love talking golf?
No, they don't. They actually don't. That's what I've noticed. There are no golf fans. Golf fans, fuck Chad Cutter, fuck Tug Coker, fuck Bo Blaha, fuck Kevin Power, fuck Pete Sestaro, fuck all you guys. I didn't see shit this weekend about Brooks Koepka winning his fourth major
2 years
in 8 tries, setting a record for shots versus in the first 3 rounds of a fucking tournament. I didn't see shit. You're all liars. You're not golf fans. You're bullshit liars. You're Tiger Woods slurpers. You've been marketed to by Nike and Buick and Tag Heuer and all that shit. You're not golf fans. No one's talking about Brooks Koepka. I'm talking about Brooks Koepka more than anybody, and I don't even fucking care about golf. You're all liars. You're all fucking losers. You're all bullshit golf fans. Where's Tug's 25 tweets about Brooks Koepka doing this? Where is it? Where is the guy? Where is it? Where is it? Why are all the golf fans suddenly taking the weekend off?
For a major tournament.
For a major championship. This guy's won his fourth in 8 tries. You're not golf fans. You're not golf fans. You're bullshit fucking Tiger Woods slurpers. You got fucking marketed to, and that's all you care about. You're not golf fans. I didn't see shit.
I didn't either.
And guess what, Matt Boonstra? I made a joke about fucking Tiger Woods. Like, the reason that they talked about Tiger Woods Masters is because he set a record for
shots, you know, lowest scores through 36 holes. You didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. You didn't even know that I was referencing Brooks Koepka's first three rounds, you fake-ass fucking bullshit golf fans. You're bullshit liars. You're not into golf. You're not into golf. You're into headlines. You're into Tiger Woods. That's it. I was caring more about golf this weekend than fucking anybody because Tiger Woods missed the cut. You're all bullshit golf fans. Stop saying you like golf. Stop saying soccer is going to be big. You don't care. You're like, I'm sick and tired of these people that like claim, oh, you guys don't talk enough. You don't talk and care enough. Where was all the golf this weekend? Where was it?
I will say, it's funny that Prano goes on this rant. I literally thought the same thing. And I did have.
This guy's setting a record.
I know. I'm saying, I'll be honest, Prano. I had, no lie, Saturday, I had the PGA Championship on in the background. I really did. So I wasn't like watching it closely, I'll be honest. I was doing work here, but I did have it on in the background, and I thought the same thing. I thought, wow, this dude's on pace to win his fourth, and he did. Major in 2 years. Tiger didn't make the cut. Where is everybody? Where is everybody? Well, here's what it is. It's people who claim that they're fans of a sport and they don't watch it. It's similar. We get in these arguments with, I'm not going to name names, comedian friends of ours who act like they watch basketball. Brady Matthews, Sam Tripoli. You don't watch the games. You're just hot takes. And that's it. That's all I have to say really about it. But I did watch a little of that. I actually watched a little.
I've now checked Tugs, Chad's, Cutter's, and Bo's Twitters. So far, in our three golf guys, zero golf updates this weekend.
Tug didn't say a tweet.
No, he replied to my he replied to my tweet about Tiger. Zero public tweets about golf this weekend.
Well, to be fair to my boy Cutter, he doesn't tweet a lot, and I know he was actually playing golf this weekend. But I'm shocked about the Tug thing, I will say. I'm shocked about the Bo Blaha thing. Like, if you consider yourself a golf fan and you're just not talking about, like you said, a record-breaking performance from Brooks Koepka.
Shout out to fucking Kevin Power 5 for multiple golf tweets this weekend. A true golf fan.
Man, Prano going full.
I'm just like, just stop telling. You're never allowed to tell me why I should care about golf anymore. Because you don't care about golf. You're not talking about it. The fucking Tiger Tracker tweets and the fucking showing up to the Dirty Sports podcast with your red shirt on. You're a Tiger fan. Be a Tiger fan. That's cool. Don't say you're into music and you only listen to Taylor Swift. You're not into music. You're into Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Don't say that you love fucking comic book movies, but you only go see Batman shit. That's me. I'm not a comic book movie guy. I'm a fucking Batman fan. Okay? Stop saying you're into golf. You're not into golf. You have shared nothing regarding a fucking one of the major championships this weekend. Nothing. Because you're not a golf fan. You're a fucking Tiger Woods slurper.
Which is fine. I'm going to add
Matt
that.
Matt Bootstra didn't know that Brooks Koepka, through three rounds, had the lowest score in through three rounds ever. Mr. Golf. Mr. Matt fucking Golf.
But let me. I don't want to defend all these people, but I want to ask this. Have all these people claimed to be golf fans, or have they just claimed to be Tiger Woods fans?
People coming at us the whole time. Oh, this. If you guys don't give a fuck, the reason you're shitting on Tiger is because you guys don't give a fuck about golf. Just say you don't care about golf. I went to Penmar Golf Course this weekend, had lunch at the cafe, took my putter out.
Nice.
Just went to the little putting range.
Nice.
Hit the putt. I'm 40 years old in July. This is the time you start caring about golf. I'm watching golf.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay?
I was watching golf.
Yeah. Let's just admit, like, just admit it. You guys don't give a fuck. You only care about Tiger. Brooks Koepka needs to what? Cheat on his wife for you guys to give a fuck?
He's got a very attractive girlfriend, by the way.
Crash his car? What? Brooks Koepka has to fall to rise again? How does this work? When do you guys start caring about a guy who won four majors in fucking eight tries?
Well, it's the same thing. Why have they not been talking about him? Because he's on a Tiger Woods historic run. It's Tiger-esque.
It's not Tiger-esque. Tiger won 9 and fucking 14. How dare you compare him to the GOAT? And by the way, and I'll leave it at this, Tiger Woods is back. All right. Back to missing cuts. Fuck you. Missing cuts. Triggered-ass Tiger Woods fans. Not giving a fuck about golf this weekend.
Well, Joe, I think...
Tweet more about Game of Thrones, guys.
I think we need to calm you down. I got the perfect idea to calm you down. Me, you, next Tuesday, New York Mets, Los Angeles Dodgers. I believe Jacob DeGrom is taking the mound. And I also believe it's Dollar Dodger Dog Night.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Where are we going to get those tickets, Joe?
SeatGeek!
SeatGeek! I was looking because I was watching Reds Dodgers this weekend. So I had the Dodgers broadcast. Yeah, and I saw it was Dollar Dodger Night, a Dollar Dodger Dog Night. Let's go. Let's hop on SeatGeek. Now, when you go on SeatGeek at Dodger Stadium, you like the loge.
Well, I like field level down the baseline.
Yeah.
I like my new thing is looking to make sure we're past the screen. But because the screens now go so far, I have taken to being a loge sitter.
That's nice.
I like the loge at Dodger Stadium.
Well, the greatest part is right when you hop on the SeatGeek app, you can see. You can know where that net's going to be. You can know exactly. It's color coordinated. Where the loge, where the seat level is going to be. Guys, and best of all, when you go on SeatGeek, all dirtballs get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek supports our show, so we hope you support them as well. Use our promo code DIRTY for $10 off your first purchase. You can use that for concert tickets, sports, comedy, whatever you want. Remember, that's promo code DIRTY for $10 off your first ticket purchase. And as always, I will send you 2 beer koozies courtesy of our podcast if you send me a screenshot using promo code DIRTY. Okay, I have to get to this Lamar Odom story before we get into some dirtball calls and some other stuff. That he used a big black dildo penis to pass a drug test.
What did they call these back in the day? They called them...
Wizinator?
Wizinator.
Was that the term?
Yeah.
You know what this reminded me of when I read this story? It reminded me of Pat McAfee. Because when he came on our show and he sat right here, remember he talked about how they stare at your dick when they're taking drug tests and like they're all on top of it. So... Lamar Odom has a new book coming out, which I'm kind of curious to read, I'll be honest.
You love Lamar Odom.
Well, I kind of do. Here's why I like somebody like Lamar. He's had a wild, like, I love the characters. Lamar Odoms, the Dennis Rodmans, like the guys who maybe not always had the easiest life and also, like, just have wild fucking stories.
I mean, I'm just excited to see all the tweets about this Lamar. Like, when this comes out, I got to imagine many of our fans are going to be standing for this. You know, Lamar Odom was up here, high draft pick, 6th man, drugs, falls low. This is his rising like a phoenix. Everybody loves a good comeback story. I hope that they're going to help him become a best-selling author. Everybody likes to see somebody turn their life around, and a guy who's using a fake penis and smoking crack now returning to be, you know, potentially an award-winning writer. I have to imagine many of our fans will be heavily supporting the Lamar Odom comeback story.
You really don't let things die, do you, Joe?
No, I don't, and I never will.
Well, this is the story according to People Magazine. So the guy comes over to give Lamar the drug test. And so you guys know, this is for the 2004 Olympics. This was the Olympics that we did awful and only got the bronze.
Well, Lamar Odom and Stephon Marbury were the lead picture in this story. So, yeah.
Yeah. So this is...
is when Magic Johnson was in charge of USA basketball.
Yeah. This is when we got a bronze medal. I believe it was Athens. I could be wrong on that, but I believe it was Athens, Greece. So according to the story, he says, so he had to urinate, and obviously they watch it. They watch you piss, and basically he put a rubber penis. I'm kind of confused by this. Odom says he handed me the rubber penis and left the bathroom as I strapped it on.
Mm-hmm.
So then the NBA, so this is somebody else hands him the fake dick that's full of urine. Then the NBA security official entered the bathroom and watched from 2 feet away as Odom squeezed out his trainer's pee from the prosthetic black rubber penis. He says, I unzipped my pants and carefully slid the penis through the zipper hole. To get the pee to come out the tip, I had to squeeze the shaft repeatedly.
This is so, like, ridiculous.
Lamar Odom played in the Olympics. Dude, this makes me wonder about the Olympics in general. Lamar Odom played in the Olympics peeing through a fake black rubber penis, which he describes in the book. When he went shopping online, I read this in another story, he had to find a penis that matched his skin tone. So apparently, this is a whole market of like finding, there's different penises out there that...
I'm just glad that's not like Band-Aids and he didn't have to use like a white guy's...
Yeah, I agree.
A white dick.
I agree. That the fake penis industry is very progressive.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this fucking wild?
Yeah, it's pretty standard Lamar Odom at this point, right?
But how many people are, like, cheating to get in the Olympics now? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Lamar Odom, I'm just saying, like, let's take a look at this. You have a guy, a known crackhead.
Well, at the time, he wasn't a known crackhead.
No, he was just smoking weed. That's why he needed this. But I'm saying, you have a guy who... Fuck it, he's a crackhead. Like he probably had smoked crack before that at some point in his life. I'm saying if a crackhead can pass a drug test to compete in the Olympics.
So, I mean, here's sort of the ultimate, you know, thing, though, like with what you're about to claim is, like, most crackheads are not Olympic quality athletes.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like... In what other Olympic sport does somebody who has Lamar Odom's lifestyle are they even qualified to make an Olympic team? So like that's why you really have to be in the Olympics, you're really testing for performance enhancing drugs, right? Like the idea, and honestly, that's why, well, dude, if you can win the Olympics on weed, you should be able to win the Olympics on weed. Like,
yeah.
Why are we testing for recreational drugs? He's hurting himself, right?
By smoking weed.
Yeah, or these snowboarders, like all these guys, like the athletes that have succeeded the most over time are the ones that are like, you know, so careful about what goes in their body, so into the training, blah 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 blah. Now, obviously, performance enhancing drugs is going to help, HGH, fucking all that shit, and that's what you have to test for. The idea that, you know, you're trying to stop a crackhead. Dude, this guy's overcome being a crackhead to be an Olympian. Like, why are you trying to stop him from being an Olympian now?
Yeah.
If you can smoke pot and win the fucking half pipe, you should get an extra medal. You should get a small green medal.
Yeah. I wonder when sports is going to take a turn on this, especially with marijuana being so accepted at this point.
I mean,
legally, look, in so many cities and so many states.
I think it should have already happened, but shit's pretty wild these days. I mean, you now can't get an abortion in Alabama if you've been raped by your fucking uncle. So the idea that we're going backwards is pretty clear at this point. So yeah,
but we aren't with marijuana, is what I'm saying.
Well, you'd like to think that, right?
But we're not, because the fact that I can walk across the street after this podcast and get weed.
Right. But we aren't for now. That's what I'm saying. Abortion was legal fucking 10 years ago, too. I'm saying the shit is wild. People get, you know, there are certainly people who are like, pot is still bad. Pot is still a gateway drug to blah, 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 blah. And those people get into some sort of fucking power position. Yeah. And next thing you know, it's not legal in California anymore. Also,
what's legal in California isn't what's legal worldwide with the Olympics, worldwide sure. with sports. It's also legal in California to have an opinion. It's not legal in the NFL to have an opinion. So, you know, what is generally accepted by smart, liberal, you know, forward thinkers isn't always accepted by the guys who made oil money and then bought a football franchise. Basketball would be way different if Mark Cuban was the commissioner and not just an owner. But until that happens, we're sort of at the mercy of old rich white guys, as you said.
Yeah, you do bring up a good point, though. It's a drug that's not enhancing you. If you smoke marijuana before a basketball game, it's slowing you down.
Look, I've said many times on this show, if I smoked pot in high school, I'd be Steve Nash. Like, it slowed me down in a good way. But it's certainly not a performance-enhancing drug. It's not giving you a physical edge over people.
Yeah.
Maybe it's giving you a mental edge over people. Coffee gives me a mental edge over people, you know? Like, kombucha. Like, there's – but the point is like, we don't need to be testing for shit that isn't physically making you stronger.
Sure. I couldn't agree more. By the way, shout out to Fat Jason Kidd. Just with a little YouTube donation.
Love it.
He's like the king YouTube donator.
What did he get a message in there too?
He didn't even put a message. What? Just said another free super chat given by YouTube Premium from Fat Jason Kidd.
Fat Jason Kidd, we'll see you up in San Francisco. What is that? Mid-July? Mets series is, I believe, like the 17th, 18th, yeah. 19th in that realm. I'll be there the week before.
A little Tahoe action.
Yep, Tahoe, and then to the
I gotta
Bay.
Get up there, man. I hear so many good things about Tahoe.
It's casino shows are never my favorite shows.
Sure,
but every time I get booked at the Harvey's Casino in Tahoe, it is my favorite weekend of the year because Tahoe's beautiful. And then, of course, we got McDuff's.
Oh, look at this, giving some free love here on
McDuff's Public House, South Lake Tahoe, California, the greatest pub in the United States of America and possibly the world. It'll be beautiful. The weekend I'm up there is the golf tournament. I know we used to have a lot of golf fans. Tiger Woods won't be playing since it's a celebrity tournament, so you guys probably don't give a shit at all. But It's the celebrity golf tournament. The last few years, Steph has played.
Aaron Rodgers,
Timberlake, Romo.
Romo's a good golfer.
Yeah, I think Romo may have won it last year. The pitchers are always really good golfers. Mulder, Maddox, Glavin, those guys always put on a good performance. Marshall Faulk played. Ray Allen played and came to my show. I was there 2 years ago. Jerome Bettis. It's awesome. A celebrity athlete golf tournament. So I'll be up there that weekend, and then I'll go to the Bay. So, yeah, you should come to Tahoe. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And if you're ever in Tahoe during that or otherwise, McDuff's Pub. Best pub in America.
Did you
follow him on Instagram, McDuff's Pub.
Did you see that fight? We're going to call it a fight, the Deontay Wilder fight.
I did not. Is that a boxer, UFC guy?
You didn't see the knockout?
I saw nothing.
Oh.
I was watching golf all weekend.
Bro, you didn't see the knockout?
I did not see the knockout.
It's a heavyweight battle.
He's a boxer.
Yeah, it was. Dude, he you didn't. Oh, man.
Play it.
Can you see this?
Yeah. I mean, go full screen when you do it, but.
He absolutely.
How long? First round knockout?
Yeah, destroyed Dominic Brazil. Brazil. I don't follow.
I stopped watching heavyweight boxing forever ago.
Yeah, but this Wilder dude is insane. Like he has. I believe he has. I could be wrong. Again, guys,
tell me when he gets a DUI and is on his comeback trail, and then I'll be interested.
I believe he has 40 knockouts. He's 41-0.
He's 41-0 with 40 knockouts?
I could be wrong. I'm going to have to look this up. Look at this knockout, dude. This is absolutely...
He's the black guy, I assume.
Yeah.
That's Deontay?
I can't. I'm not going to play the sound because it's connected.
Yeah.
So, which sucks, is you can hear the punch. Watch this fucking knockout.
Well, goodbye. Good night and good luck.
Bro, watch this dude try to get up.
Well, he should not try to get up.
Watch this dude try to get up.
I disagree with that being a good idea. I think you should stay down for sure.
Watch this dude. Bro. Yeah. This dude, watch this again. First round.
Yeesh. Yeah.
So I was reading more into Wilder. He had said before this fight, he wants to kill somebody in the ring.
Good.
Like he's that big of a savage.
I love it. It's the attitude you have to have. Mike Tyson said he wanted to eat people's kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the attitude that you got to bring to some shit.
I'm not a big boxing guy.
I used to be forever.
But.
Loved boxing.
I'll tell you what, man. After
I mean, you've seen the tweet I always put up after every boxing match. Like, it just seems so fucking disgustingly rigged. That's why I'm excited that this guy.
Listen to this numbers. I was right. He's had 42 fights. He's 41-0-1. 40 knockouts.
Great. I mean, what I love about that is like you get a satisfaction from watching his fights.
Oh my God.
The guy's going to get knocked out or he's not. You know what I mean? Like that, my problem with boxing forever has just been the fucking, just like, it's just such a sham for ratings. It's just such a like, oh, well, we pick this guy because then there'll be a fucking.
See, that's what I want to watch. I agree with you. Like Floyd Mayweather, his style, again, I don't know shit about boxing, but obviously we all know his style. He's not a knockout guy. He's a precision guy. He's
also your size, but. You know.
Yeah, 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 exactly. This Wilder guy, when I saw that, it was Saturday night, and I was watching all the clips, and people were going nuts on Twitter. I was like, yo, this is the type of guy, Mike Tyson-esque, 6'7 black dude from Alabama. I'll fucking watch this guy. Because the boxing world, like you said, is so corrupt, and they need a heavyweight champion. There hasn't been a... Who's been the last big commercial heavyweight champion?
I mean, they tried so hard for like fucking Klitschko. Yeah.
They tried so hard for him. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
Like this guy, man.
Good for him. Was this a championship fight?
Yeah.
Is he the heavyweight champion of the world?
The WBC, I believe now. Again, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, there's 11 belts. He has to fucking he now has to like he has to go full fucking Game of Thrones. He has to like travel to different parts of Westeros to kill other people just to like unite the belts.
Yeah. Shout out another donation for the odds of that, whatever that profile is. Shout out for the donation.
A little donation.
You want to get some dirtball calls?
Sure.
We have some other stuff on here, but it's not really major news. Patrick Peterson.
I mean, Patrick Peterson suspended. Sounds like another drug mishap.
He needed a Wizinator.
Well, sounds like he, and I know it's always like the my Twitter was hacked of professional sports, but you know, look, when Sean Merriman told us his story, I like Sean. Sounded pretty believable, you know. Shouldn't have listened to the train. Like, didn't even claim like it was like the team trainer or somebody who gave him some shit.
I forget what he said.
But anyway, he said, you know, took some shit, didn't know it was on the banned substance list, and blah 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 blah. Patrick Peterson's excuse was basically the same. You know, he's diabetic. Is that the thing? Or he's,
I don't know. I'll be honest, I didn't really fully read into it.
I think he's diabetic. He took something. He was feeling blah blah so and so. It had a banned substance, and now he's suspended.
Six games though.
Yeah.
It's a lot. He's losing a lot of money.
Yeah. Sucks for the Cardinals. Suspended. Jets firing their GM. That's a fun story.
Talk about a dumpster fire organization.
Just firing their GM after the draft. Also making fucking Crazy Eyes McGee their like interim GM.
But what's crazy is you fire your GM after the draft, after you sign Le'Veon Bell, all these... He already did all the work.
Yeah.
That's like having somebody build your fucking house and you're like, don't like it. You're fired.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
it's, let them build your house.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story, but like, there's two things when you read the Jets stories that you always have to remember. Jets fans live on planet fucking Jets. Like, no one is less in touch with reality than Jets fans. Like,
it's funny you say that.
Truly, in life,
can I tell you what I saw? By the way, I'm done. I deleted the dating apps again. But before I did that, I saw a girl on Hinge, I believe it was a couple days ago. She put in her profile, the Jets will win the Super Bowl in the next 10 years. And you know, my thing lately has been trolling. I've been trolling women. It's not even to meet women anymore. I've just been trolling women on dating apps, which is a whole other discussion. Prano thinks I'm a nut job. So I trolled her. I was like, you'll win the Super Bowl in 10 years? I was like, try making the playoffs first. I wrote this long thing to her.
I mean, it's like, it's, you know, saying the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl in the next 10 years is like saying, like, we're going to colonize Mars. Like, yeah, maybe. A lot of shit has to happen, though. Like,
a lot of shit has to happen.
But no one's less in touch with reality in all of sports than Jets fans. Like, Jets fans right now can't believe, they were like, you know, it's a shocking story that their GM was fired. It's like, why wouldn't he be? The Jets are, I believe I saw the stats, like the only team in the last three seasons not to win six games ever. Like, the Jets aren't good. The Jets haven't been good. Like, Jets fans need to, like, guys, look at what, like, look at Sam Darnold's stats. Like, I'm glad that you drafted a quarterback, and, you know, it's obviously super important, but, like, the idea that you guys are set at quarterback now for the next 10 years, like, then you didn't watch. Le'Veon Bell, fucking, seems like every Pittsburgh Steelers running back that joins the lineup is Le'Veon Bell. So how good is Le'Veon Bell? Like,
we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. But the idea that the Jets are somehow a sure thing now, like, there's no sign that the Jets are improving.
I saw, was it NFL Network? I forget what I had on TV. Somebody was saying, God, I wish I knew which analyst it was. They were saying Le'Veon Bell is going to lead all running backs in combined receiving and rushing yards, which I thought was a bold claim.
Yeah. Give me Saquon Barkley. Like, what? Can somebody find this guy's name so I can get a wager out there? Like, the difference between the Jets and the Giants, the Jets have been bad consistently forever. The Giants have been bad lately. Giants fans are like, we don't know what the fuck's going to happen. And Jets fans are making fucking Super Bowl claims.
Yeah.
And you just fired your GM. There's no sign that the Jets are going to be good, ever.
Well, and also you're in the division with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Until Bill Belichick leaves, that's the Patriots division. Tom Brady's going to be 50 fucking years old. I mean, that is a system that just does not fail. All right, let's throw on those headphones, Prano. Let's do some dirt ball calls. It has been a minute. Quick reminder for everybody listening, the hotline is 310-359-8365. And let's even get the intro music.
Dirt balls, dirt ball calls. We got the dirt balls.
All right, our first call is, you remember the Canadian kid? You definitely know who it is.
Yeah. Is he back?
Dude, he hit puberty. I love when our younger fans hit puberty. Listen to his voice now.
I mean, it's going to be a real, like, I'll know I'm getting old. Like, this is the first time.
Wait until you hear it.
Wait until Embergis Jr. has to, like, shave for the first time. I'm just going to be like,
pfft. Bro, listen to the Canadian kid now.
You definitely know who it is.
Andrew and Joseph. In Canada, every single year I call and I rant about how the Raptors are making the finals, and every single year they choke in epic fashion. You guys make fun of me and you guys tell me how my balls haven't dropped yet. And this year, before Philly, I'm about to pick up the phone and I think, wait, maybe I'm the jinx. Maybe I should wait until after. And then guess what? Kawhi motherfucking Leonard hits the greatest shot in the history of basketball. The wow. Toronto Raptors are back. I'm not jinxing the next round because they're underdogs anyways, but man, that is the greatest moment of all time. You know, Joe, it'll be over when you hear this, but good luck in the lottery. The Knicks aren't going to win anyway because they're the Knicks. You know, they want a big three of Kyrie, Katie, and Zion, so they'll probably end up with the big three of Rudy Gay and Mo Harkless and Matty Goldberg. But anyway, shout out to the Lakers for not trading Brandon Ingram for Kawhi. I'm sure they're happy with that. And I'll see you guys. Let's go Raptors. Condoms are for, I guess, Giannis.
We're watching a man mature before our very eyes, Joe Prano.
I mean, did he just jinx? Like, since that, they lost their first two games of the next series.
Yeah. He left that call a week ago. A lot of these, just so you guys know, a lot of these are old because we haven't had time to.
Hey, look, Kawhi's been fantastic.
Yeah, he's amazing.
For the Raptors. Is Kawhi on the Raptors next year?
I kind of want him to be.
I think it kind of fits for him because it's just like so out of the mix.
And if
there's one thing I know about Raptors fans, like Raptors fans will take any small inkling and they're like, this is the greatest shot in the history of basketball to a Raptors fan. The history of the NBA. There's never been a greater shot. Now, don't get me wrong. It was a fantastic shot. Kawhi's been incredible for them. But
I think he's a good fit for that city.
Yeah, because he's quiet.
And it's still a hockey town.
Yeah.
It's Canada. I saw a funny tweet that Neil Brennan posted about Kawhi. It was something along the lines of like, Kawhi's the type of guy who goes home after the game, after he has like an amazing game, and sits with his family at dinner and doesn't like, they're like, oh, how was work today? And he's like, it was cool. And just like eats his meal. Like he doesn't even talk about it. Like he had 40 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists.
Another Neil Brennan platinum tweet. Hang that one in the Twitter rafters.
What's that dig about?
It
made me chuckle.
Yeah.
It's just what?
That's just like Neil Brennan used to have the podcast, the Champs. Neil Brennan always has black guys on. That's his winning tweet. Is like, Kawhi Leonard seems like the guy who just sits down at dinner and says, yeah, work was cool.
No. This was it. I misquoted him. It says, Kawhi Leonard seems the kind of guy whose family doesn't even know he's in the NBA. He just says, I'm going to work, and comes back 8 hours later, and they go back to sitting at the kitchen table not speaking. That's funny. You don't think it's that funny? Okay, Prano's not a fan. That's cool. Comedy, it's objective. Is it objective or subjective? I always confuse those.
I mean, both.
Are those synonyms?
Well, I mean, comedy is objective and subjective, but like it's subjective. Like what you think is funny
is subjective. It's subjective.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, let's get to another call. This will be an interesting take. I actually, the minute I heard this call, I thought of you. I was like, I can't wait to hear Prano's take on this.
Is this Portland?
Yeah.
What's going on, fellas? This is Jew Boy. I'm watching the second game in a row in Portland. And, you know, TNT, ESPN, they're always showing the crowd and all the people in the stands. And for two straight games, I haven't seen one female that is above, like, a 6, and that's like being generous. I mean, my God, Portland must have the ugliest women. So I know you guys travel a lot, you know, especially Joe seems to travel a lot. So I was wondering, of all the places you guys have been, the cities, where would you say is ranked as the ugliest city in America? Later.
I like this question. Ugliest city in America.
So this is a hard question to answer. Obviously, I haven't been to every city. But I've been to a lot of cities. I haven't spent enough time in Portland to make a claim as to where Portland stands. But I will say this.
Do you have a list ready?
Well, what I pulled up is like, you know, I'm sure there's some weird city in the middle of nowhere. It just like happens to be like a coal mining town there's parts of West Virginia I'm sure that people are just like,
but I don't want to include that. I'm saying
that's what I'm saying. I pulled up the biggest cities in America. So just go here, watch this.
From big to small, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, Philadelphia, San Antonio, San Diego, Dallas, San Jose, Austin, Jacksonville, San Francisco. San Francisco has fucking gross people. So, like, when I'm going down the list of
like 20 biggest cities.
Yeah. Austin, Jacksonville, San Francisco, Columbus, Ohio. Like, I don't know what the girls in Columbus, Ohio look like. Fort Worth, Texas, I'm sure they're fine. Indianapolis, you're okay. Charlotte, Seattle, Denver, Washington, D.C., Boston. I got to say, people in Boston, not super attractive. You got a lot of fucking fat, gross Massachusetts assholes. But, like, in terms, Portland is the 26th biggest city. You know, you got El Paso, Detroit, Nashville, Memphis, Portland, Oklahoma City, Vegas, Louisville, Baltimore, Milwaukee, Albuquerque. Of all of those cities that I've been to, San Francisco easily has my belt of ugliest people. I've actually made the claim before, San Francisco is Spanish for ugly people waiting online for brunch. The way I have described San Francisco is if you're in a video. Remember when you go to Blockbuster back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're on Tinder in San Francisco, you're looking at that. You're looking at that basket that was right before you got to the counter, and they were like just selling movies for like $1, and you could buy like Broken Arrow with Howie Long. It is just like the reject barrel,
like Howard the Duck.
Yeah, it was just like the reject barrel of fucking videos.
That's San Francisco Tinder.
Because in San Francisco, you're already in California, but if you're attractive, you're immediately leaving to go to LA, you're leaving to go to San Diego, you're leaving to go north to Seattle. Like San Francisco, it's people that want to be in a Patagonia fucking down jacket all year round. It's like, who doesn't want to fucking show off? I haven't spent enough time in Portland. Portland's got a very similar hipster vibe. Hipsters are always ugly. That's why you don't have a fucking nose ring and a tattoo on your face because you're a 10. You're not like, stop looking at how attractive I am. Look at the gauge in my eyebrow.
Yeah.
You know? So hipsters always are going to be ugly. But I haven't spent enough time in Portland. San Francisco, as far as the big cities I've been in, I'm always like, is there an attractive girl in San Francisco? I've spent so much time in San Francisco, I never fucking see attractive people.
What about Oklahoma City? I've spent some time in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, how was that? I've spent some time there too. I don't remember it being great. But like, at least you're kind of in, it's like kind of south. Like you got kind of, I mean, the one thing I'll say about San Francisco, they're not obese. Right? Like Chicago, you can get kind of like, especially the men. Men tend to be like fat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, the Midwest loves to just like eat.
The
and
Midwest.
Cuff and
look.
They get a wife. They get fat. That's why everybody gets married in like their fucking early 20s. They lock it up. They get the house in the burbs. Quality of life.
I was just there for 2 weeks. And I always say this. This isn't me knocking. This is just an observation. The first thing I notice every time I go back to Ohio is the obesity. It's the first thing I notice. When I'm sitting at the Reds day game and I'm looking around the ballpark of the four people that actually showed up, I'm seeing obese people.
You get a job, you get enough money to buy a $400,000 house in the burbs, you have everything you need, you and your wife get fat, you spend the weekends at the mall, you're wearing cargo shorts and a fucking camouflage hat, you're drinking orange Julius's by the 64-ounce fucking tub, you're filling your face with fucking chili. But you got a family, and you get happy, and you get a quad that you take by the lake or whatever. I don't fucking know. It's like the ugliest big city I've ever been to is San Francisco for women. And I guess if you have an Asian fetish, you know, good for you. But that ain't my vibe.
I'm just wondering, because this is a tough call for me.
I bet you Portland's ugly too. So many hipsters in Portland.
Yeah, I'm thinking Portland's gonna be high up there. I've never been.
I've been to Portland. It didn't stand out to me as especially bad, but I wasn't there long enough, and I wasn't like trying to pick up girls. I had a girlfriend.
I'm just thinking of some of the southern cities I've been to, like the random ones, like a Birmingham, Alabama, or some of these random southern cities that I've been to, where you're like, are there attractive people there?
But the thing is like the other thing that I always say and is like when you get a big group of people together, like if you walk
if you went to the Rose Bowl for a UCLA game and you just stood and watched people leaving, you're going to see 100 hot girls walk by. Like 100 girls, you're like, she's hot, she's hot, she's hot, right? If you go to a, you know, an Auburn Alabama game, you're going to see some hot chicks.
I agree.
If you go to a Cal game, I don't know if you're seeing hot chicks, dude. If
you go to like, I think you are.
If you go to a Cal USF game, I don't know if you're fucking. You might see some.
Let's say Cal Stanford.
You're not seeing a lot of them.
Well, no. I'm not going to compare a Cal Stanford game versus Auburn Alabama.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, like, on the whole, you're getting Southern women. You get some hot Southern women.
I'm just picturing feminists like irate up in San Francisco hearing you say this.
They know they're not hot. If they were, they'd have left. What are you doing there? The hottest girls from the joke is always here in LA. There's a rivalry. There's an LA San Francisco rivalry that only San Francisco cares about. We don't even think about San Francisco. Go to San Francisco. Like, when you meet somebody here from San Francisco, you're like, oh, cool. So how come you left the Bay? It's like, oh, you know, warm weather, or like, I'm in entertainment or whatever. If you go to LA and you tell somebody in San Francisco you live in LA, they're like, I could never. Yeah, I know.
You mean if you go to San Francisco.
Yeah. If you go to San Francisco and you tell them, I could never live in LA. Yeah, we know. You have a fucking eyebrow ring and you have Brandon Lee as the Crow tattooed on your fucking forehead. Go back to work in the lab, nerd.
All right, let's get to another call.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Clint up in Davenport, calling on Friday afternoon. And Andy, I would love some koozies if you can send me some koozies. I donated $100 during the March Madness stream, live stream.
Yeah.
Put in the comments, could you mail me some koozies? And would still love to get those. I also contribute on Patreon. So
damn. Give the man some koozies.
What I got to do to get some koozies? You can mail them to me at 9
Why are you doing this guy?
MU, but I'm not really on social media. So anyway, I'll keep donating to the show, and I'll keep listening to the show, and I'd love some koozies.
Well, here's why. Well, first of all, I'm not too concerned about people sending him stuff. Clint, I appreciate the call. Of course I will send you koozies. You said you're not on social media, but here's the thing. I try to be very organized.
What's the Dirty Sports email?
DirtySports4545@gmail.com.
DirtySports4545@gmail.com.
Yeah.
That's for all of you people out there that don't have social media that reach out. Like, somebody found my address and sent me a handwritten note, like a follower. He's like, I'm not really on social media, but just wanted to say. I'm like, fuck, this is. Why didn't you just send me a fucking crow? Send me a raven.
That's Lord of the Rings shit.
Yeah.
Or Lord of the or Game of Thrones.
Yeah. DirtySports4545@gmail.com. Send us a message there.
Yeah.
Andy reads the emails.
I do. I'll say, yeah, of course. By the way, I appreciate all the support. And you more than deserve some koozies. And again, guys, that goes for everybody. If you haven't gotten a koozie, or like I missed it in the mix, because you got to remember, I'm looking at DMs for Dirty Sports, my personal, on both Twitter and Instagram. So like shit gets lost in the mix. Joe knows. Like there's a lot of DMs going on.
Oh, I'm sure there's a million. I know. I owe people a million things. It's, you know, hey. We're busy people. Send a fucking reminder. I forgot there was dirt balls coming to stay at my place until one of them messaged me and was like, hey, we get there tomorrow morning. I was like, fuck.
That's hilarious. You ready? You ready for a possible bet, Prano?
Sure.
All right. Let's
stripper Bryson bet.
Let's see if you're down for this.
Am I going to have to strip?
What's up, boys? This is Bryson again. Number one stripper dirt ball giving y'all a call. So, I got a little wager, a little bet I'd like to make with Prano. I was just thinking I'm having a long ride back to Atlanta from Memphis. And I know he doesn't like the Marvel superhero movies. And I've refused to ever even look at a picture of Game of Thrones. I've refused to ever start it. Well, you know, I'm from Atlanta. I'm a Braves fan. Joe's a Betts fan. You know, I've seen y'all the Betts games. I've donated some money to the show. I feel like I've earned my respect enough to pay my dues if I do lose a bet. So I'd like to make a bet, you know, if the Braves finish higher in the division or win our division, and vice versa. If the Mets win, then I'll watch Game of Thrones. But if the Braves finish higher or the Braves win, you got to watch all 22 Marvel movies, Joe. And I want a 3-minute review of each one at least once a week on the show. I would love that. Well, just let me know, man. I'm up for it if you are. Stay dirty, boys.
I mean, a 3-minute review on top of watching 22.
A 3-minute review of each movie?
That's what he said.
That's an hour of reviews.
On the show.
First of all, the Mets are a goddamn dumpster fire now, right now. And but I like this bet. And, I mean, they're 4 games behind the Braves right now. This would have been a strong bet like a week ago. The Mets are a dumpster fire right now, and they're not making a ton of adjustments. I'll do this. Bryson.
But I'll say this before you say it. We're not going to do a 3-minute review on the show, like sorry,
not of
no
every
offense.
Movie. But the other thing is, and the only reason I'm thinking about accepting this bet is like, let me see. Hold on 1 second. He said there's 22 Marvel movies.
Yeah,
22. I wonder if that'll. The first thing that comes up is 22 Alabama Senators, which is hilarious. 22 Marvel movies. I want to know what the list of cinematic Marvel Universe movies. So I've actually seen a lot. I know I said like I'm not a fan, but like I've seen a lot of them. So I've seen Iron Man. I've seen Iron Man 2. I've seen Thor. I haven't seen any of the fucking Captain America anything. I've seen the Avengers. So like I've seen a lot of them. I'll take the bet. If Bryson spots me 5 games, I'll take the bet. I'm not rewatching anything I watch, but I'll watch all the holes.
And he's got to watch every episode of Game of Thrones?
Sure.
83 episodes?
Yeah. Basically the Mets are 4 games back right now, so I want a 1 game spotting for the rest of the year. I want 5 games on the season. I won't watch anything I have already watched, but I will fill in the gaps of the 22 movies. I've probably seen half.
That sounds like a good bet.
I've seen half, I imagine. They're all 2.5 hours, so you're still probably looking at, if I've seen half of them, I'm still looking at 25 hours of watching.
Well, I'm saying from his perspective, as a guy who is a you know, convert to Game of Thrones, I mean, bro, we're doing you a favor if you lose. 83 episodes. It's a great show, The Ark. In fact, I've already decided I'm going to rewatch it since my experience was so different of, you know, binging 67 episodes.
I mean, at this point, it's Monday afternoon. Like, we can do Game of Thrones spoilers. How do you feel? Do you feel like it was worth it for you to put in that time?
Yes.
For the way this last season was not particularly well received.
Well, I think everyone's a critic, and I plan on going kind of in depth on a rant on Dent Report about it. But look, dude, I liked it. I enjoyed it. In the words of Magic Johnson, no regrets.
I mean, Game of Thrones, like, I think some people were happy that it didn't end the way they wanted it to. But for me, it's pizza. You know, the worst pizza is still pizza.
Yeah, and that's,
you know, Game of Thrones is a blowjob. Like, I'm not turning them down.
Well, that's my thing. Like, these people, again, and I tweeted this out. Like, I don't know what people want. What are you so frustrated? And people,
I'll tell you what
people are critical
wanted
of this last season. I had no problems with this last season. I don't know what people want.
Well, I do. I felt like it was rushed, and I don't know why they insisted on doing it. Like, why they were like, let's get
6 episodes.
Yeah, why they felt like they had to cram everything in. My complaints were like the whole people keep spotting things. Like, I just don't know how in the last fucking season of this epic thing that there's water bottles and coffee cups and Jamie has 2 hands and all that shit. That's kind of like wild. And I understand the complaints also is that it came from books and then the dude stopped writing the books and then these guys wrote the ending of the show. So it is completely different. Like the determination on like how it ends and stuff is not being decided by the same person who created the whole thing in the first place. I will say this,
My problem, and again, it's Monday. Turn it off right now if you don't want spoilers. Although, honestly, who are you if you haven't watched it?
You see those people tweeting at me?
No, but if people,
the dude's like, I'm unfollowing you. By the way, I gave one spoiler. And it was only one spoiler of Vegas was right about fucking Bran.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, I wasn't tweeting throughout the show.
But, like, at this point, who are, like, is there somebody who still has, I mean, Tug was going back and forth with me about DVR yesterday, but it's like, we're going to talk about who won the Super Bowl. Okay? It's Monday. Super Bowl was yesterday. We're like, I still have it DVR'd. Like, it's the Super Bowl. You have the Game of Thrones is not like, you don't get a full day.
But not only that, you don't get that night. Who are these people who have not figured it out?
I didn't go on Twitter because I didn't get to watch it till 8 p.m. West Coast time.
Exactly.
It airs at 6. I didn't go on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't go.
Exactly.
So I don't give a fuck about your spoilers. Now, and not everybody can get to the movie theaters to see, you know, Avengers the first weekend or whatever. So I get don't give spoilers away to some shit that, you know, whatever. But Game of Thrones, it's available to everybody. Like, if you haven't watched it or you're going to start it, like, I'm certainly not avoiding spoilers for the people who haven't started watching it yet.
Yeah.
So here's my issue with it is, like, I think a lot of people were upset John didn't end up on the thing, and I actually was upset that John didn't die. I basically thought the only options are John's the fucking king or John's dead, because we already fucking laid out why it's rightfully his. And what the fuck else does this guy got to do? He came back from the dead. He's fucking leading people in multiple wars, the Battle of Bastards, fucking, you know, the night, like all of these things. He's going beyond the wall. He's like, fuck, like Jesus Christ. Like, as far as, you know, I know maybe our military personnel don't always make the best fucking presidents or whatever, but like in this landscape, really seems like the guy earned the right. Also, it's sort of, you know, by hereditary birthright. That's why I was like, oh, John's gonna die, otherwise it's his. Meanwhile, we got fucking fake Victor Cruz, little like no dick gray worm, all sad about his girlfriend, and that's why John can't be the king? Nope, he has to pay. Who the fuck are you? Get the fuck out of here. You didn't have a name until we fucking gave it to you. Also, what the fuck? Like, why is this guy getting to fucking speak for everybody? Shut the fuck up, Grey Worm. Grey Worm's fucking sad ass. Your girlfriend's dead. Get over it. You didn't fuck her anyway. Old fucking dry humpy. Being all fucking sourpussed. Can't let people fucking... Crazy to me. I thought for sure John was going to die. That's why it was going to be Bran.
But that ending is that, like, wow. That ambiguous, he's just heading off into the wild again, is, I think, what makes it interesting.
Yeah, but he kind of, like, earned his right not to be a fucking night watchman anymore. This dude now can't fucking...
I agree.
Say all that, and he's back where he started?
But there it is. It comes full circle. That's the whole
because
point.
Because why? He fucking killed a murderous terrorist? He was using her fucking dragon to kill children?
But to me...
Like, yo, Grey Worm, go walk the streets, you fucking no-dicked motherfucker, and go tell a Dothraki or whatever about the dead kids. Who are you, savages?
But to me, it's this. Life's not fair. That's the silver lining I take from it. Life isn't fucking fair. Life is brutal. Life is harsh. So even though, while Jon Snow is rightfully the king, has done, like you laid out, everything to earn it, he's a legitimately good person. He seems to fight for the just and fight for what he deems right. Life fucking sucks sometimes. I don't always like the happy endings, and to me that wasn't really a happy ending. I did like the comedic elements. Nobody's talking about that. I thought there were some really good comedic elements in the last episode.
I mean, the fucking sitting at the table at the end. What was that? The little fucking, was that the end of Seinfeld where they're all in the fucking jail cell together fucking riffing? I didn't like that.
I liked it. Talking about whorehouses, I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it.
It was fine. It was like, look, let's just agree that, like, it was a fun ride. It was a great show, well produced. Everybody, like, we all bought into a fucking cultural phenomenon. It's not the best TV show ever. Okay, that ship has sailed to fucking Westeros or wherever the fuck, you know, Arya's. That ship has sailed to west of Westeros with fucking Arya the Explorer, and. fucking
old Christopher Columbus heading to fucking the West Indies. You know, it was great. It was fun. These things are tough to end.
And that's my
take. Same thing, I'm a fucking lost.
That's my take.
Yeah.
This isn't easy to end, and everybody who's so critical, you know, just shut up.
Yeah. Sopranos goat.
All right, guys, that's the episode. Hotline 310.
We only had one other call on there. What is the...
Oh, he's just so stoned. You want me to play it?
Sure.
He didn't know what he's saying.
I like it when... I like to clear the call things, because then otherwise they sit there and then you're like,
okay,
this is from 4 weeks ago, but...
He's so stoned. It's the guy SF Purple Haze.
Okay.
The Dominican guy. He's so stoned. He tried to make two calls. They make no sense, but I can play them.
Hey, yo, TSPN, this is your boy. You already know what it is. SF Prep Haze. But real talk, man. Y'all talk about Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk some real shit. That nigga legit has not been in the playoffs for a couple of years. What are we really talking about? And I understand that it's a team game, but doesn't something go towards Tom Brady taking a pay cut? Or if we don't have the play talk conversation, let's just talk about this guy's that nigga.
Well, wait until you hear the second one. So then he just like forgets how to talk. And then the second one, listen to what he says. Again, he's talking to Aaron Rodgers, no playoffs, that we're too easy on Aaron Rodgers. This is the second call to follow up.
Sorry about that last phone call. My son got a little bit hold up on that. But real talk, though. So, Aaron Judge.
That's it.
Did he get murdered by a fucking horror villain?
So he went from Aaron Rodgers to Aaron Judge?
And then he passed out.
And then he died.
I mean, we're not going to go down. We're not going to go down the team game wormhole anymore, right?
Tom
Brady's a smart guy.
Tom Brady's
a super duper smart guy. He's not taking pay cuts because he's charitable. Okay, let's just leave it at that. He's not taking pay cuts because he's charitable. He's taking pay cuts because he knows motherfucker Bill Belichick will do it without him. Has done it without him. Would do it without him. Tried to do it without him. Wanted to fucking trade him.
Yeah, Brady's a smart guy. All right. Hotline 310-359-8365. Again, the email, dirtysports4545@gmail.com. The mic slipped out of my baby hand there. And yeah, if I owe you koozies, hit me up on there. Send me that message again, Clint. So I can get you some koozies out. And anybody who leaves an iTunes review or uses any of our promo codes from our sponsors gets two koozies. Guys, I go to the post office like at least three times a week. So I'm up doing it. So send those out there. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Dirty Sports. Follow me at Andy Ruther. Follow my boy over here at Joe Prano. Guys, like the Instagram thing, you're probably sick of hearing it, but like just do it. Like, what are you waiting for? That's it for me.
Yeah. I mean, same old for me. Nothing in particular to talk about. You guys know what to do. At this point, I don't even feel like people get to this point in the show.
They don't.
So
they don't. We really should do plugs first. Okay, Dirtballs. Thank you for sticking around. RIP Game of Thrones. Hopefully we didn't give any spoilers.
Oh, no. We definitely gave spoilers.
I know. I'm kidding. All right, guys. We'll be back here in a couple days. Enjoy your week and stay dirty.